Blog Talk Radio.
That time, everybody, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio as we broadcast around the world. This is Larry Batson along with my co-host, Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doc. Let's try that again. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Batson. I failed to hit the button. So I go, what has happened? So here we are on an absolutely chilly day in west central Indiana where the temperatures are about 50 degrees. A slight bit of dampness in the air. A little cool tinge. It's a slightly... almost a sweater weather day, but we're just going with our hoodies and not too bad. Of course, joining us in a little bit will be my wonderful wife, Cheryl. As right now, she's broadcasting from the Cub Cadet lawnmower. She'll be part of the how much older did they get with Dr. Henry Day, but from the Worldwide News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable distinguished and always on time, except I always push the wrong button, Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doc.
So have you gone out and put sweaters on the alligators?
The alligators are not happy. They are not happy. They're thinking, what has happened here? Though I'll tell you right now, it would be a major battle to bring them back inside. So they're just fine.
Yeah, they're fine. We're hitting around 55 degrees.
Yeah, it's just cold in Florida. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all good. And and there comes the sunshine. As I mentioned those few words, sunshine is now painting itself over the landscape here in Putnam County. So this is very, very exciting. So Dr. Day, as always with the Wild World News, are you ready?
Let's get on with it.
We're going to fire it up. Here we go. If I hit the right button again... Hold on, third time's a charm.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good afternoon. We're going to start the Wild World News out today in Gainesboro, Florida. Now, I'm sure you've all heard about it. We've reported on it the last couple of weeks, but the large flightless bird that fatally attacked a man is among... about 100 exotic animals from his estate that are up for auction now.
Oh.
The post livestock auction will offer the cassowary that killed Marvin in accordance with his last wishes.
Wow.
He told the family, if anything happened to him, please get rid of all the animals because we don't want this to happen again.
Yeah, well, I guess I can see that. I mean... but it's almost like you heard about the woman that was attacked at the zoo. I think it was it in Topeka, Kansas or Toronto? I can't remember where.
Yeah, in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was a T. And what I got a kick out of is the news people said, well, they're not going to put down the tiger. Why would they put down the tiger because of this incident? That just is beyond me.
Exactly.
I don't get it. Yeah, so it's a tiger, you know. Be cool, be safe, but yeah, it's a tiger, so what the heck?
Right, and, 99% of the time, it's the zookeeper's fault.
And, you know, Doc, it's usually the person that's not a regular employee. It's like a volunteer or someone that's just there part of the time. So they're not familiar with the day-to-day operations, and they mess up.
Well, good news about that young zookeeper. She's out of intensive care.
Well, that is good news. God bless her. I hope she continues doing what she wants to do. That's fantastic.
That's right. All right, an animal shelter in West Memphis, Arkansas, has rescued dozens of turtles from a wastewater treatment facility after they became trapped in the sewage pond filters.
Ooh. That's not good.
Yeah, now you think they would have prepared for this ahead of time, but they are working on that now. All right, well, as you reported a bit ago, the Topeka, Kansas story about the zookeeper, well, like we said, she's out of intensive care now, but her friends call her Claude.
That's a boy's name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's spelled C-L-A-W-E-D.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I was trying to think of the famous actor that's first name was Claude. It was beyond me. I forget.
The Invisible Man, Claude.
Yeah.
Wayne.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
All right. Well, I spent a lot of time in this place, El Paso, Texas. The El Paso Zoo staff are purring because they have two new baby ocelots.
Very cool.
Now, have you worked with the ocelots before?
You know, that's one cat I've never had the chance to work with or be around. Probably about 10 years before I basically started in the animal business, they were imported a little bit more. And I probably would have had the opportunity, but by the time I got into the business, which was in, oh, I don't know, 75 or so, they were already considered threatened and endangered, so you didn't see them very often. But I'd love to try one.
Well, you've worked with every other cat of every other size, so.
Pretty much.
We can work in an ocelot sometime.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, time to play the name game. Omaha, Nebraska. The zoo is asking for the public's help in naming a giraffe born last week. Now, name suggestions are accepted on the Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium's Facebook page that began on Friday.
Excuse me.
So if you want to name a giraffe, here's two ideas. How about Larry or Henry?
I think that's fantastic. But you know what they'll do? They'll come up with something like Karuba Diba or... Excuse me, I'm dying. Yeah, something along that line. So that's too normal for them. Yeah.
Well, we can hope for the best.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I don't ever remember you working with porcupines either, do I? Have you ever worked with a porcupine?
I have. We once got a porcupine for an exhibit in New York. We picked it up and borrowed it from the owner. It was a wild porcupine. It was from a rescue center. And, yeah, we did.
Well, pretty interesting. Well, listen to this story. Coos Bay, Oregon. A police dog that stumbled upon a porcupine and got more than 200 quills stuck on his face while pursuing a suspect. He's resting comfortably, and the vets say that he will not lose his eyesight.
Well, that's great. But you know the thing about the porcupine quill, if it's not taken out immediately, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It's, well, needless to say, quite painful.
I've only seen one porcupine in the wild, and that was about 25 miles south of El Paso in a place called Waco Tanks. And I saw bobcats and a little bit of everything out there. But, yeah, pretty rare to see a porcupine in the wild.
Well, not always, though, because when we go to Rocky Mountain National Park, in fact, I can remember being out there with Cheryl. I think it was on our honeymoon or maybe the year after. And there was a certain time of the year, which would have been in late fall, they were all over the roads, and there had been several been struck. It was, and of course, the porcupine's greatest enemy. Do you know who that might be, Dr. Day?
Let me think about that. I just have to guess and say a wolf.
Pine marten.
Is that right?
And they attack. The only vulnerable place the porcupine has is its stomach, and yeah, the pine martens will attack them through their stomach. Yeah, and we saw several that have been hit on the road.
Well, for our listeners that don't know what a marten is, you want to tell them what a marten is?
Well, it's a relative of in the weasel family. It's a large weasel. You have the pine martens, and you also have the fisher, which look somewhat similar. And they're about, oh gosh, 10, 15 pounds, long body, dark brown in color. And the pine marten can literally climb a pine tree unbelievably. I mean, their mobility from branch to branch is it's a pretty incredible show.
Right. You might compare them to kind of a slender otter.
Yeah, yeah. Except they're got the temperament of a badger. And they're related to wolverines, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got a mystery going on in Gulfport, Mississippi. Wildlife officials are investigating a rash of deaths among dolphins and sea turtles on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Hmm. Wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, that's quite scary. A lot of times, I hate to say it, but it might have something to do with the military testing or, you know, government operations going on in the Gulf there.
Yeah.
But that's pretty strange, and we'll try to do an update on that and let everybody know what's going on there. All right.
Thank
we got
you, please.
Bad news from Long Beach, California. Charlie, the oldest southern sea otter held by any zoo or aquarium, has passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, Charlie died this last Monday. He was 22 years old.
Wow. That's pretty old, I'll tell you, for an otter. Yeah.
Yeah, most otters in the wild might live 7 to 10 years. So Charlie had a good life.
Yes, he did.
For educating the public, Charlie.
That's right.
All right, now, as we always warn our listeners, always beware if you've seen an animal you don't normally see out in the daytime. New London, Connecticut, a man attacked by a rabid bobcat while golfing doesn't remember much of the incident, what happened to him. All he can remember is he saw the miserable animal coming at him.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Now he was on the seventh hole of the Mohegan Sun Golf Club in Sprague when the bobcat jumped on his back and bit his left arm and shoulder while clawing at his head.
Oh.
Yeah, and you handling a lot of cats, you know what that experience is like.
It's quite painful. And bobcats, of all the cats that I've ever worked with, God, they are the toughest. I mean, my Lord. And if they're not in a good way, they will just flat tear you up.
Yep. 100 pounds of muscle.
Well, not even that much. That's what's. We had a bobcat that Cheryl raised many years ago, and she went to Minnesota to her sister's for 3 days. My job was to take care of all the animals, but also the bobcat. And one of the things you never want to have around a bobcat, especially if it's running around your home, is something like a rug, because they'll grab that rug and they think it's a kill. And they will fight for that kill. And I knew when I messed up, because I could hear it in the other room, row, row. And I said, oh my God, it's gotten a rug. And I turned around the corner, walked in that room, and it had the rug, and it flat wanted to protect the rug, and it was going to try and kill me. So I basically had to wait for hours till it forgot about the rug so I could hurry up and get it away from it and then coax it back into its facility. Oh, man, that was the longest 3 hours of my life. Terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fun story to share, though.
Oh, yeah.
You can drink wild turkey, but don't feed them. Boston, Massachusetts. The wildlife officials say the public should avoid feeding the wild turkeys, which are becomingly increasingly common on the streets there. Yes, Boston, Massachusetts, Turkey Town.
Huh.
Right?
Wow.
So we want the turkeys not to feed the turkeys.
That's right. Don't feed them. They don't
All right.
They
wildlife
get agitated.
Wildlife Educational Services is also urging our listeners. It's that time of the year when the bears come out of hibernation. All right, so remove any potential food sources from your property that would attract hungry bears as they start to stir. And this can include bird feeders, where you put your trash can, if you feed the outside. Just beware, yeah. We've warned you.
And also coming in June next month, well, not quite next month yet, but That's when they go into the breeding season. And the male bears get very, very aggressive. And the females are just, you know, they're just crazy. I mean, everything bugs them in the month of June. And the males will just flap. And they make a clicking sound with their jaw, kind of like that. And I know this because of our two bears. When you get around them during the breeding season next month, June, he'll make that sound. Now, he's been fixed, but what he had not been fixed, he would flat try and just kill me. I mean, it was, he'd go over and reach, he'd go up and take big bites out of 6x6 treated post while he's looking at me. He made quite an impression. So, yeah, it was scary.
All right, so beware.
Yeah.
They're seeing red in Durham, North Carolina for the third straight year. The Museum of Life and Science is announcing the birth of red wolf pups.
Fantastic.
That is fantastic because we know that they are on the endangered species list.
I think I swallowed a bug.
Well, that's a good time to tell me because we're off to Wilmington, Delaware. Listen to this. The kissing bug, which bites people around their mouths, can pass along the fatal Chagas disease. It has made it into the state of Delaware.
Oh, Chagas, huh?
It was reported that their child's face was bitten by the bug last summer, and a subsequent investigation identified the culprit as the kissing bug.
Oh.
Yep, while you lay sleeping, they will sneak up and try to kiss you.
I can say I've swallowed a few bugs over the years, but I can't say I've ever been kissed by one. But
let's hope so in the future.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, local news. Portage, Indiana. Two teens are credited with helping to rescue more than three dozen rabbits that were apparently dumped in the woods near Little Calumet River. And now, see, Easter was only a week ago. See how fast they multiply?
yeah, right. Man, what a heartless person it takes to do that. My goodness.
I know. A week ago. All right, another local news, Indianapolis. An upright piano that John Lennon used to write Beatles songs was sold at auction to the owner of guess who?
The Indianapolis Colts.
That's right. Jim Irsay now owns Lennon's piano.
Wow. He owns Ringo's drums. He also owns George Harrison's Gibson SG. I'm thinking he owns an Epiphone that was owned by John Lennon. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he owns a Rickenbacker that was owned by John Lennon that was played at Shea Stadium during that concert in 65.
He just has too much money.
Yeah, he does. But I'm glad he does because the Colts picked up four wonderful players at the draft, so that's good.
We're keeping our fingers crossed.
That's right.
All right, Mr. Batson, we've gotten to that part of the show that you hate.
Well, let's see here. Very quickly, we make sure, as I mentioned earlier, Cheryl is on the lawnmower. She's my competition for the day, and it's not going to be pretty, so let me flag her down, and we're going to play Who Got Older. All right. And Cheryl joins us on the mobile safari phone here in West Central Indiana to play the game that I absolutely despise, but I do find some sportsmanship in it. Very little. Who got older?
Good afternoon, Cheryl.
Hello. How are we?
Good, good, good. We're sorry to get you off the lawnmower.
It's okay. It was way too wet, but I had to do it because it's going to rain some more, or we'd have to bale it.
Yeah, it would.
And then you'd have to buy some livestock to eat there. Yeah. All right, are you ready to play Who's
Line? I don't have enough bunnies.
we can find some bunnies for you.
There's some deer across the way now today. Across the driveway today.
My God. How many were there, Cher?
There was two. The one that has a lame leg, I named her Lamey. And the other one I named Lacey.
Oh, that's so cool.
So creative, right? Lamey because she's lame. Get it?
Yeah. We do. We get it. It's very good.
Witness that on your property.
Hell.
Yeah. I don't know if she was hurt or if she was born that way, but she has an odd-shaped front hoof area, her leg in the front. So she limps. And she hangs around here, she and her friend.
Well, she knows she's safe there.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Are you ready to play?
No. I mean, okay.
All right, we're going to start off today with Color Me, Barbara Streisand.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Memories. Very beautiful. Edward.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm supposed to say first?
Go ahead. But I was enjoying this, the music.
Yeah. Oh, the way we were. I don't know. 74.
I'll say 81.
Really? How old is she?
Oh, I'm afraid Barbara Streisand's birthday was Wednesday, and she turned 77.
Well.
Oh.
One goes to Cher.
Yeah, it does.
77.
In the business, director John Waters.
Oh.
He's up there, too.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I lose this game every week, so don't go by what I say.
No, you and I are both really close at losing at this.
No.
I will say 69. That's
not I'll say, yeah, I'll say 75.
Well, Mr. Batson, you went over. He turned 73, although you're closer. We're going to call this one a draw.
Okay.
Let's try to break free now.
Okay.
Maybe I Love Your Way. Peter Frampton had a birthday this past week.
Wow.
Maybe I don't know how old he is. I'll say 72 again. Stick him with 72.
I'm going to go above that. I'll say 77.
Well, he might be mad at both of you. Peter only turned 69 on today.
Well, see, I should have switched. I should have said John was, well, anyway, should have.
Yeah. Well, you won.
Mr. Batson.
Woohoo.
Woo.
All right. Yeah. Tin Roof Rustin, Kate Pearson of the B-52s.
Oh.
You won't believe this one.
Oh, probably not.
Uh-oh, now I'm really worried if you say that. What's she, 50? 52. B-52.
Yeah.
That could be older than me.
We should all be 52.
No, yeah, I agree.
I forgot it. No, can I switch it then if it's that bad?
Yes, please do.
Let's say 67. My great
I'll say,
number.
Okay, I'll say 75.
Well, Kate turned 71 yesterday.
Larry has been studying.
No, that's his luck.
We got a tie ball game. All right, see what you can do with this. Ace Frehley of Kiss.
Well, he looks about 100.
It's the makeup. They didn't have very good makeup back then.
No.
Bad for the skin.
Yeah. I'll say 75.
I don't know. Let's see. Okay. I'm going back to my 72. I don't think he's that old. I'm saying, 72.
All right, Cher wins again. Ace turned 68 yesterday.
68.
Oh my
gosh. Boy, they're
gosh.
All going to hate us. We aged them, didn't we?
Oh my God. We're not gaining any fans this week.
No.
All right, Mr. Batson, you got one more shot here. Sheena Easton.
Ah, that morning train. Do. I will say 59.
What song? It's
the morning train. Isn't that the morning train song? Didn't
you
do that?
He takes the morning train. He works from 9 till 5 and then.
I've been outside. I've got to take her. Okay, I'll say she's 58. No, 62.
What did I say? I forget. I think I said 59. I think that's what I said.
Well, this is a tough one. All right. It looks like we're closing in on a tie here. She turned 60.
Oh. Yep.
Well.
Cheryl, you danced between 58 and 62. All right. Here's the tiebreaker.
Excuse me. I've been out in the hay fever.
That's okay. All right. Here's your shot. Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, gosh. She's probably 39.
God, I think she's right. I'll say 43.
What did you say, Cher?
39.
37. It looks like Cher's one's who gotten older again.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh.
When do I get my tickets to Tahiti?
Well, now you're to be on the show again.
Oh.
Sound like you've really won, but there you go.
Funny.
All right, let's do our facts of the day. Now listen to this. Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album was on the Billboard charts for a total of 741 consecutive weeks, and that ranged from 1973 to 1988.
Wow, that's a couple 3 years. I was trying to think.
That's one of the greatest albums of all times, I guess. And also, elephants are the only mammals besides humans to have chins.
What?
Wow. What
the heck? And that's Wild World News for April
20th. Elizabeth has a chin.
What did you say, Cher?
I said Elizabeth has a chin.
Yeah, she has a chin, Dr. Day.
Right. Well, that's from National Geographic. I just report them.
You scientist.
Once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. Always fantastic contest, even though I don't like it that much. It's always great. And Dr. Day, it's so wonderful that you've contributed to the greatness of our show. Wild world.
Love him, man. is Shelley Leibowitz. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. This is Wild World on the Magical Network, known as Blog Talk Radio. And my co-host, as always, Dr. Henry Day. And joining us this afternoon, what a treat, my beautiful wife, Cheryl, is with us tonight as we talk about... and we've got exciting news, Dr. Day, from the wild, from right here on the animal compound. This occurred today. Tell him, Cheryl.
The hummingbirds are back.
Oh, great. Okay, then we'll get ready for them here.
The hummers are here today.
They usually show up a day or so after they show up at your place.
Yep.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I see one visiting now.
Is there? My gosh.
Yeah.
You've already got the ears up?
Yes, yes, I did. I put them up yesterday, and this morning I saw our first visitor, and then I saw another. I've seen it three times today so far.
Well, after the show, we'll get ours ready.
There you go.
Yeah, we need to go.
You know, but Larry, he cheats. You know, he likes it. He mixes a little heavy, as the bartender for the hummingbirds. Larry mixes a little heavy. Or is that how they say it?
Yeah, yeah. Stiff drink.
Yes.
Stiff drink. And
yes.
They become junkies. That's what happens.
That's why we get so many.
And they'll actually do battle over the hummingbird feeders, these hummingbirds, after they've had a little bit of the lair juice. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might have to try some of that stuff.
Well,
yeah,
you'd be moving around pretty quick, too.
3-1, I think. Isn't that what we did, Cheryl? 3-1?
It's what you do. Most safe
4-1.
Let me tell you one of our bird stories. Me and Susie, we always put the feeders out. And our neighbor used to raise bees. And he came over one day and he said, I've got something to tell you. We've got this rare red honey. And we'll try to share some of it with you. But I didn't have the heart to tell him that his honeybees were coming over, hitting our nectar feeders.
Oh.
And taking that sweet juice back and making honey with
honey.
Hummingbird food.
The hummingbird mix. That's funny.
I wonder what that tastes like.
Beautiful magnolias out there in bloom and other, flowers right now, flags, but they still come to the feeder. I don't know if it's because it's always been here so long or they're, I don't know. Or it's just Larry's mix.
I'm going to go with the mix.
Yeah. Well, you've had people ask you because they had a hard time bringing hummers to their home. And
mm-hmm.
they've used your mix and said, oh, now I've got them.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to make it a little heavy, a little stiff.
Yeah.
It'll make them happy.
Well, share it with us. How stiff do you make it?
Well, you're supposed to mix 4 cups of water with a couple sugar. He only mixes 3 cups of water.
Yeah.
It's like
a rocket. It is. It kind of even pours much slower than the normal.
No wonder they're right.
I was just thinking, do they have hummingbirds in England, Dr. Day?
Yes, they do.
Well, I wonder if who has put out his hummingbird feeders yet.
Well, let's find out. Dave, are you with us?
I'm always with you. Ask me every week. I'm with you. I'm always here. Yeah, you know what? They're all different colors. We quite love the creatures. Sometimes I'll go out in the backyard and hold a flower in my mouth, and they come right up in my mouth, you know.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button. That was so.
You're always doing something like that, don't you? Always on. When I'm on, something always happens. Hey, I got with my brother Ray the other day. What a question for you.
Okay.
We were wondering. Would you rather be trapped in a well with 100 electric eels or an insurance salesman?
I think of eels.
Cheryl, what do you say about that?
Isn't that both the same thing? Isn't that the same thing?
Pretty much.
Now, you know, there's two things in showing salesmen. I've got something else to say. What is the difference between a lawyer and a catfish?
Oh,
a catfish.
Lawyer and a catfish. Let me think. I don't have a clue. Cher?
Stinging whiskers, maybe?
No.
Yeah.
One of them's a bottom feeder, and the other's a fish.
Oh, that's right.
Dave, you're killing me.
I've got to go anyway. Got to pick up some groceries, you know.
Yeah. You got to have those. That's right. Absolutely. Hit the right button.
Well, thanks for checking in, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
That's right. We love those conversations with Dave, even though I choked to death. Excuse me. Sorry. But you know, one thing we have not found. Now, we've had the hummingbirds in, but we haven't spotted a morel mushroom yet, Dr. Day.
Well, I hear they're finding them here in Indiana.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
We haven't really looked that closely.
No, we've just kind of wandered along the edges of the woodlands. We haven't gone deep where they are at, so.
Well,
yeah,
maybe we need to check in with our super mushroom hunter.
And who might that be?
He's been on the show before.
Oh, Dr. Kitchell.
That's right.
Yeah, we need to. But I say he doesn't have a clue.
No, he knows.
Yeah, he certainly does. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Wild World. Oh, it's already been magical. I needed a drink, but you're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Focus, Hocus Pocus here on Blog Talk Radio. Wild World here on a 3 o'clock every Sunday. You know the deal. Dr. Henry Day and myself, Larry Batson, Larry the Animal Guy, and we're so proud and so happy that my wife Cheryl's joined us this afternoon, as I've already been beaten soundly in Who Got Older. It's not
fun.
Oh,
by one person.
Yeah, but you're so used to the thing.
I know. I've gained the title of loser when they come to this game, and I'm not a bit proud of it. That's all I can say.
I'm not.
I don't know. He talks about it a lot, doesn't he, Dr. Day? To not be proud of being such a loser.
And such a music aficionado.
Yeah. We love some folks.
How old people are.
Yeah, I don't have a clue. I just, you know. I don't think I've ever gotten one right. But anyway.
All right. Well, you'll have to switch it around on me sometime.
You want to be the player? I could do that. Now I know how to find Who Got Older too. I can look it up, though I've never done it before, obviously. But yeah, I could produce that game. Yeah, absolutely. Though I don't want to take that joy away from Dr. Day, because he does get lots of joy out of Who Got Older. So
yeah, and you losing.
Yeah, it's okay.
They have
now, you know. Now, what they always said about mushrooms is you have to wait for the, oh, my God, what's the name of the tree?
A bumblebee, a butterfly, redbud tree blooming.
Right, yeah. Redbud's what I couldn't think of. And a snake.
A snake. It's too cold for snakes.
It's
cold today. Here.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's a little. Like we said last week, I think the garter snakes might be out to some degree, but that's about it. The other ones, no, too cold. But I think, like Dr. Day said, I think they're out there, so we need to go pursue them. And anyone that hunts mushrooms, keep your eyes open for snakes as well, because it's that time of the year, so we don't want anything to happen. Hey, we had something cool happen, Dr. Day. We were at a school this week. Cheryl, tell him the story.
Okay. Nowadays, they have to have police officers in schools, sadly, and in an elementary even school. So we were at our school, and the man that was the officer, the janitor told me, she said, oh, I told him, you know, that we had these people bringing wild animals. Oh, no, he said. So we could see him watching our program, and, you know, he seemed interested. So after it was finished, we had another one in the afternoon, because we see two sets of kids, and we had one more, and he came out and spoke to me out of the truck. So when Larry came out, he started talking to him about how he was petrified of the snakes and never could stand them, just scared to death of them, couldn't do it, couldn't be around them, didn't know how that little girl that helped Larry during our program did it at all. And he said maybe the next show, you know, he was going to come back. He wanted to get his guts going, I guess, get his toughen up, and wanted to see if maybe he could touch it. So Larry goes, oh, yeah, we could do it right now. And he's, no, now. I need to get my thoughts before. He wasn't ready. He was scared of the darn things. The man has on all kinds of weapons, everything he needs, guns, mace, name it. But he's scared to death of this snake, right? But,
yeah.
Okay, so we went ahead and went to lunch and came back, and during our program, of course, that we always, Larry always brings up someone to help him with the snake. And I don't know if his name was Scott, wasn't it, Larry? The officer's name?
Carl. His name was Carl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Carl Swan.
There you go. And
yeah.
I don't know for sure, but did he know you were going to call him up? Because you had told
not.
Him that's what you were going to do.
No, I did not. He had no idea that I was.
Yeah, he did. I don't think so. But he did say that if he got brought up in front of the kids, he couldn't back out. You know, he'd have to stay strong because the kids give him, you know, they know him very well.
Yeah.
And Larry called him up. And of course, I don't see what happens then. I leave. Make sure they know they're helping Larry, not me.
Well, Officer Swan walked up reluctantly. Yeah, he walked up reluctantly. And then I explained to the children and himself what we were going to do. and how he had to position himself with his arms to be like a tree, and how I was going to put the boa constrictor on his frame, and he was going to be a tree. And he said, now he said out in the animal truck before, a couple hours before we actually did it, that he was going to go have a couple beverages of the alcoholic variety.
Yeah, but I don't think he did, but yeah.
No, I don't think he did either. But
well, I wish he would have.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of entertainment value to that. But he was very stoic. He sat there, and I talked to him. I said, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. Just think, that little bitty girl did it just hours ago. Of course, that made no difference to him.
He started to walk away at the beginning, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And you said, he'll pick a girl. I said, he'll pick a girl.
That's what I do, Doctor. I don't think I've ever told you, but if I pick a boy, like a fifth or sixth grader, and they act like they're not going to go through with it, I'll tell them. I'll say, I'll pick a girl. I'll pick a kindergarten girl. And your life will be ruined. Yeah.
Your man card will be gone.
You will lose all credibility in this school.
How big of a snake were you using?
It wasn't that. It was about a 4 or 5 foot boa constrictor.
Okay.
Well, tell him whose it is.
Well, you know Rick Andreessen, Dr. Day?
Right.
Well, when he went to the hospital, because he was having a procedure with his heart done, he asked me if I would take care of his snake, because he didn't know how long he was going to be in the hospital. And he didn't make it out of the hospital. He passed. So we had the snake. I promised his wife, and I promised his son, Christopher. And he had another son, too, and I can't remember his name, darn it. And I told him, I said, I will use it in education. So that's what we've done here the last month or so with their animal shows. And we've used that boa constrictor in his memory.
That is really nice.
Yeah.
Nice snake.
It is a teacher now, and it's a beautiful snake. I mean, it's just phenomenal, so it's very cool. But Officer Swan did it. But I'll have to say, after the show, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I looked over, and he was sitting in a seat on one of the cafeteria tables, and he just seemed kind of in a trance.
Like,
basically,
what the heck did I just do?
That was basically the expression on his face. And I kind of waved at him.
I've seen that expression before.
I have too. And I kind of waved at him, I think, but he didn't really wave back. He was just kind of.
They never speak to you again.
Well, what's really funny is he was on Facebook, and they post, and now his profile picture is of him holding the boa constrictor. But there were so many people that had commented about his photograph with the snake, that they absolutely could not believe that Carl Swan, the law enforcement officer for Western School System, held a snake.
Because
they can remember him growing up, and he has had a deathly fear of them. So that was, that was cool.
Yeah.
You're never too old to learn now, are you?
Absolutely not. That's what I said.
Well, it's like the time we did something for Mutual of Omaha, Dr. Day. It was a convention for insurance salesmen. God, thank God I wouldn't put it.
Insurance Dudley Convention.
Yeah. And
there are quite a few of them.
Yeah, there are. And Mutual of Omaha, this is really before computers were crazy. They had a Polaroid camera, and they were taking pictures with whomever wanted to get their picture with this python. And I will have to say that several of the people said that they would never hurt a snake again after they'd been through that experience. So I thought that's cool.
That was pretty cool. We put that snake on so many people, and I'm so short that I got so tired of lifting that big old snake up that I'd hold it up and say, back into it. I'd tell guys just to back into it so they could just throw it over them, because it was so heavy. Ooh, and I was lifting it up so much that day. I can't even tell you how many times that snake was changing minds that day.
Oh, that was hard.
Officer Carl just might encounter a snake on one of his calls, and that might help him a lot.
That's true. Well, we've had DNR guys come out before to have the animal guy give him a few pointers.
Mm-hmm. on snakes. Yeah, we have. So it's always a really wild experience. I've got something kind of special today for you two. Something kind of special. The spirit of our good friend, Dr. Huh?
Tickets to the Bahamas?
Should we be afraid?
No, we shouldn't be afraid. We should be happy. I'm sending this out to the spirit of our dear friend who we lost a few years ago, who every time ventured onto our compound and would spend some time with us, he'd always go to our record collection, or I should say our CD collection, and request one certain song in particular. So we're thinking about our friend, John Roth. What a wonderful soul. And this is a song that he would always when he would visit Cher and I here at the Animal Compound. Good with buttons today. Pictures of Matchstick Man here on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. So, yeah, that's
was that
very
the Strawberry Alarm Clock?
No, that was a group called, they did the Incense and Peppermint. That was by a group called Status Quo. Q-O. Yeah, Status Quo. And that's a wonderful song. And John, every time he would come, he would always ask us to find that in our CD collection and play it for him. And we did with great joy. It was fun, lots of fun.
Yep, and whenever you saw John, the first thing he said was, hey.
Nothing more than that, Dr. Day.
Yep. Hey.
Hey. Hey, do you remember the time when we were raising the owl? He pulled his truck up and the owl came and landed on his mirror.
Right.
And
yeah.
He had a conversation with it. He would always talk to the trees, Cheryl, wouldn't he?
Yes, there's been times that he talked to pretty much anything, at, you know. Yeah.
Gosh, we missed
him. He's had conversation with trees and told me that their names.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
We solved all the world's problems at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning around the campfire.
Absolutely. If you could stay awake. Mr.
Yeah,
Dr. Day.
Yeah. I usually was in bed. I think I was old back then. Yeah, I can never last too long. But I can remember the time we put a TV out by the campground, Dr. Day, and we watched the Beatles anthology that was showing on ABC television on a Sunday night.
When we were kids.
When we were kids.
Now you don't need television. You've got your phone.
We have our phones. Yes, it's that's right, and it's very, very cool. Absolutely. Well, what a wonderful show we had today, Dr. Day.
Can I ask you, have you released the tortoises yet?
Yes.
The tortoises have been out. Yeah, they've been out for about.
Probably not very happy.
No, he's not.
With the temp.
He weighs about 100 some pounds, and he's now partially buried himself because of this cooler weather, but we get 3 or 4 70-degree days in a row. They'll be wandering everywhere. So say goodbye to the flowers. So long, flowers.
Smarty pants. I will re-fence them. The flowers will be back in fencing.
Yeah. And God, please help them. Please help them, because these tortoises have ravenous appetites. It's just incredible.
They love
hostas. Just incredible. They do. Cher, thank you so much for joining us today in the wild world.
Well, I guess it's better than cutting grass.
Yep. And we always have fun when you're on. We always hear some good, interesting stories.
Well,
We absolutely do. All right, well, so are you going to resume the grass cutting, Cher? Or are you going to try to do that this afternoon?
I just had to do that front before it had to be baled.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest is not too bad, Dr. Day. Of course, she has this amazing mower now, this Cub Cadet zero radius mower, so she can mow the whole entire yard in about an hour. Where in the old days with the push mower, how long did that take, Cher?
It would take me all day.
Yeah, all day.
8 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of grass out there to cut.
Yes. Pretty brutal. Pretty
jungles
brutal.
Of Clinton Falls.
Absolutely.
That's right. It's
moist.
Something else.
They're very moist right now.
And we get some warm weather. It'll take about a day for it to dry out. It doesn't take long at all. So we got that to look forward to, huh, Cher? She's not responding.
Yes, we do. I like it when it dries out.
Yeah. Well, have a great week, everybody. We'll hopefully see you next Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio, Wild World.
Thank you,
Cher. Thanks,
Dr. Day. Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Newports. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Wild Talk Radio.